Father, we come to you with repentant hearts. Father, we repent of things that we've held inside of us that we didn't have any business keeping on the inside of us. We needed to release them unto you, release those burdens. You're the burden, the anointing is the one that removes the burdens. We don't have the ability to deal with some things that we try to place on ourselves. We seek the solution within ourselves instead of just letting go and letting God. Oh, help us to see why we need to praise in our life and worship in our life. And it stops the avenger. He has nothing in us when we are praise and worshiping the mighty God, the creator of the universe. We are an army rising up. But we need to understand our authority to be an effective soldier in that army. And part of that is praise and worship. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be set free right where you stand if you will just praise and worship. I know it seems like it's silly sometimes. You heard the reports that they said about David as he danced, bringing the ark back, danced his clothes off. People thought his own wife thought he was a fool. But he's take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Sometimes praise and worship may seem foolish to you. Some of you may say, I don't sound good when I sing. We don't care. But you make a proclamation out of your mouth when you are singing faith-filled words unto God. Amen? Freedom takes different forms. And you're not to judge that person standing beside you. How they received their freedom. You're not to judge that. Some of you would be free now, if you would submit unto God and the leading of the Holy Spirit. But I know there are people in here right now saying, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not talking about your flesh rising up. I'm not talking about something emotional rising up. I'm talking about the Spirit of God dealing with you on the inside. And sometimes it just takes a step of faith. One step. One step. Just one step. I remember when I got born again, right here in this sanctuary. Tremble and fear overtook me when Pastor Rob made a call for people to come up front that wanted to know Jesus. But I remember as soon as I took that first step out of my chair, peace like a flood just overwhelmed me. And it just felt right. I knew it was right. So I want to encourage you this morning. It doesn't matter what it is. It may be a step of faith in business or a step of faith with a relationship, a broken relationship. It may be a step of faith with an investment. I don't know. I'm just saying that you can take that step of faith. You need to take that step of faith. Because without faith, what? Come on, y'all say it. It's impossible to please God. We have to step out. All too more in these days, we need to step out. All the more in this end time, we need to step out in faith. Amen. Teresa?
Yes. Years ago, we were doing praise and worship, and I'm telling you, I came from the background of a Brethren church, but I just want to share this testimony. When you come in here, you do get set free if you would just allow yourself to be. But our son was getting ready to get his learners, and he was going to drive, and I know he's going to love me telling this, but that's okay, because it brings honor to God. We were coming through here, and I don't remember the whole circumstance, but I remember I was up here, and God spoke to me, and he said, if you will praise me and worship me and dance, I'll take care of your son. And so, yeah, it was a step of faith for me. I think I stood right over there in that corner. It was just me and God. And I just danced before the Lord. But you know what? A lot of people say, oh my gosh, my son's going to start driving. My kid's going to start driving. I won't be able to go to sleep until I hear those cars come in the driveway. But you know what? God set me free right there. And I always went to sleep. Yes. I didn't stay up waiting on him. He knows I didn't. He probably heard me snoring when he came in. But, you know, I'm telling you, if you'll just listen to that small voice sometime. It may seem foolish, but do it. I mean, I had many a nights of good sleep. He wasn't bad. He was always home on time. You know, I didn't worry about him. Reggie's probably elbowing him right now. But no, it was all good. I had peace, and it came from my God.
Hallelujah. Listen, that is a ploy of the enemy. He wants to steal your sweet sleep from you. Right, baby? I'm going to tell on my wife. She's in here today, so I can actually talk about her to her face, and then she can't go back and say, you were talking. She has trouble with that. Teresa, you need to minister to my wife. She likes to stay up until the very last one of them is home. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you, I can sleep. I can snore. And I don't worry about a thing. The enemy wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to put those thoughts. Well, what if? What if? What if? Looking. There's too many what ifs in the world for you to be concerned about. You can't handle all the what ifs there are. You can't. You've got to give that stuff over to God. You've got to. You have to trust what the Word says. You have to be led by that small, still voice on the inside of you. Right? Amen. Y'all can be seated. I was going to do something, but I think I'm not. The world that we are living in right here in this current day and age, while it is tremendously different than the world 20 years ago even, 50 years ago, completely different. But there is nothing new under the sun. The enemy is up to the same old tactics he used 50 years ago, 100 years ago, thousand years ago, he has no new weapon. I think what has happened is that the enemy has not gotten stronger. We have gotten weaker. We have not spent the necessary time in fellowship with God, in fellowship with His Word, in fellowship with one another. How many have seen a trend where you're seeing separation of fellowship amongst believers, friends, because of whatever may be causing the distractions? And I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna tell them myself here. Yesterday, you know, Saturday, I typically like to take Saturdays and just spend time with God and meditate and go over, you know, what I feel the Lord is leading me to share about. And I don't know, it was what, 2 o'clock yesterday or 1 o'clock yesterday or something? You know, and she's not in here, so I can talk about her. Kenneth says, hey, let's have Carson and his family. Carson is her boyfriend of 2 years. Had to throw that in there. I don't know why. Let's have them over for a cookout tonight. I'm like, it's, you know, cookouts. I love cookouts, but people come to cookouts. They want to stay longer than they should sometimes. And I'm not saying that was the case here, but I was thinking about, these was rolling through my mind. And then just something clicked. I said, no. This is something we need to do. We need to have fellowship with this family. Now, I didn't know they was bringing the whole family. I mean, like 11 people. So we're out scrambling, getting food and hamburgers and hot dogs. But this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get in my mind and say, come on, no, you got a lot to do. You haven't, you know, done this. You don't really want to have time for that. And my wife is thinking, oh, I got to clean the house. I got to get things ready. Oh, there's chicken poop on the patio. I got to get that off of there. How am I going to? Oh, there's so much. But that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to steal your fellowship. And we need each other. We need each other. We need to spend time with one another. We need to spend time in His Word. We need to spend time on our knees praying. We need to understand and get a revelation, a spirit of wisdom and revelation about who we are in Christ, our authority in Christ. The enemy hasn't gotten stronger. We've gotten weaker. And I'm just, I don't want to say put that blanket statement out there, but I see that. I believe that. So, what are we to do? Go deeper with God. Get deeper with God. Get deeper with one another. Fellowship. Love on one another. Call and find out how someone's doing, what they're going through. Get in your Word. Spend time in prayer. Make it a priority in your life. Make it a priority. Quit coming up with all the excuses. And that's exactly what they are, is excuses. Some things are legitimate. I'm not saying that, but a lot of it is excuses. Oh boy. Y'all gonna be all right today? I believe you will. Father, we thank you that we can come together today as a body of like-minded believers, coming together to hear from God, from you, Lord. Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear what you are saying to us right now, today, for today. We thank you that we have the freedom to come together and worship the God of the universe, the one true God. That we can come together and remember your son Jesus and what he did, how he laid down his life, shed his blood for each one of us. And as we remember that, as we honor that, as we believe in that, as we come to understand what that means to us, I believe we will grow in the authority that is ours as a believer. And as we grow in that authority, we will wield that authority in this world to change lives, to change our lives, other people's lives, to change the atmosphere that we're even in. Time is short. We must be ready. So we thank you for times like this, that we can come together and be encouraged and edified and lifted up so that we can be about our Father's business. Amen. 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 Well, glory be to God. I spoke to Pastor Rob the other day. He said to greet everyone, tell them we love them. They are enjoying their time. They just went and celebrated with Brother Savelle. Brother Savelle's 50th anniversary of being in ministry. What a legacy. What a legacy. 50 years. I just celebrated 50 years of life, and he celebrated 50 years in the ministry. Wow. That puts it in perspective for me. But 50 years to do anything is a long time. How many has worked the same job for over 50 years? Anybody? It's a long time. 50 years. Anyways, they send their love. They're doing well. All is well. Down in sunny Florida, I wish we were there today. It's a little bit cooler than it was yesterday, isn't it? Were y'all ready for the Word? Well, let me say this. If you're here for the first time, we just welcome you to Christian Growth Center, the exploding Word and Worship Center of the New River Valley. We preach faith. We believe in faith. We believe that we have power within ourselves, God-given power, because we are the sons of God through the blood of Jesus, and we have authority in this earth, and we practice that authority by speaking words of faith, right? Actions of faith, steps of faith. We just say welcome to you. We believe that it's no accident that you may be here today. We believe that God places in the body as He sees fit. And I believe each one of you are here today because He saw it fit that you be here. Amen? And know that you are loved, not only by the Father. You're loved by Nikki and I, our family. And we sense that love in return. We do. I just want to say thank you for all the wonderful birthday gifts and cards. And I've got some things that I want to give out. I'll do that later. But the outpouring of love, the outpouring of appreciation is just so wonderful to us. And we love you guys. We love you. We love you. Not because of the gifts, but because of the connection. The kingdom connection. Amen? Amen. So, let's get into it today. Will you? With me? Are y'all on board?
Amen.
Are y'all hooked in?
Yes.
You got them ears open?
Amen.
To hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? Well, I want to thank Wanda as well. Last week, I heard, was wonderful. I got to listen to most of it, probably 78% of it. And something really stuck out to me that she said. And I think this is a quote, but it's pretty close if it isn't. She says, when we grow in our authority, we will see the suddenlies. Do you remember saying that? I don't remember half the stuff I say sometimes up here. It's okay. When we grow in our authority, we will see the suddenlies. You know, we want the suddenlies. Our cry is restore, restore, restore. We want to see restoration in our lives and in others' lives, right? Don't you want to see that? Don't you want to see lives being impacted by the Word of God, by your life? by your words. When we grow in our authority, we will see the suddenlies. We have to grow in our authority. And it is a growth process. How many know when you first got born again, you weren't walking tall, a man of woman of faith, speaking to things that be not as though they were. I mean, you were growing. You were growing. Right? Even Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. We are growing all the time. When we grow in our authority, we'll see the suddenlies. And I believe that. Because when we grow in our authority, we understand that we can speak to the storms of our life. We can speak to situations. We can speak to our own bodies. We can speak to other people's bodies. And when we understand our authority in this earth, we'll start to see more of those suddenlies that we're expecting. How many years have we been talking about the suddenlies? The suddenlies. If you've been here any time at all, you've heard that. The suddenlies. Well, I believe as we grow in that authority, I believe that was a tremendous word. And I hope y'all grabbed hold of it, those that were here. And if you weren't here, you can go back on the website and listen to it again. But how many are thankful here today? Well, about 50% of you are thankful. And thankfulness being a weapon. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let me share something out of there. Thankfulness is a weapon. And if you listen to Wanda's message talking about thankfulness being a weapon. And why can thankfulness be a weapon? I just wanted to add this to that. I'm in 1 Corinthians. I think I did that last time. Leslie was the only one that caught me, I think. And I shared out of, I think, 1 Peter, and I was supposed to be in 2 Peter. But maybe the Lord just wanted me to share there, and we just went with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3 says this out of the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk, we live in the flesh. That's you and I, right? We are living in the flesh. If you're here today, you are in flesh. You have flesh and blood and bones. For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare, this is our warfare, yours and mine. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. See, if you have a stronghold in your life, and you may not even know that's a stronghold, but if you know that you have a stronghold in your life, there is a spiritual weapon to deliver you from that stronghold. Verse 5, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. I believe thankfulness is a spiritual weapon. And I believe that as your heart is more thankful, is more giving of thanks, that is a weapon to tear down some strongholds in your life. And here's especially if unforgiveness is a stronghold in your life. If unforgiveness has been a stronghold in your life, if you just kind of pan in your mind back through your life and faces come before you or situations where you've experienced that, thanksgiving, that weapon of thanksgiving can deliver you out of that unforgiveness. It can. Because the weapons of our warfare are spiritual. They are not carnal. Amen? Yeah. I just wanted to add to what Wanda had shared last week with that, because I believe it was powerful. And like I said, go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen to it again. Well, how many knew I wasn't here last week? Did y'all even know? Huh? Well, do you know where I was? I was at AIPAC, A-I-P-A-C, American, Israel, I get it wrong, all of the Public Affairs Committee is what it is. So what it is a conference that they have every year in Washington, D.C., and it is pro-Israel, Americans that are pro-Israel, and they come together and they, part of what they do is they lobby Congress for pro-Israel policies. And it's important. I'm telling you, it is. And this year, I think there was about 18,000, they said, that came. And it started out small. And I can't remember the origination date when they first started meeting. But I consider myself blessed. So I work security at the AIPAC. And what that means is, no, I don't carry a gun. Somebody always asks me, do you get to carry a gun? No, I don't carry a gun. We just sit at these magnetrons. I think that's what they're called. We call them mags, where people are just walking through. You're just checking for metal and make sure nobody else is carrying a gun coming in there. Because they do have some high-profile people that come to these things. You know, Vice President Mike Pence was there this year. Nikki Haley, former ambassador to the UN, was there again this year. Benjamin Netanyahu was scheduled to be there live, but he had some stuff going on. If you've heard the news over in Israel, he felt it necessary after he did his thing with Trump to get back to Israel. So we had a live feed via satellite from Benjamin Netanyahu, who's the prime minister of Israel, for those of y'all that don't know. So some cool things. You know, we had the Secretary of State was there. I'm trying to think. Ted Cruz was supposed to be there. He didn't show up. Nancy Pelosi was there. President of Honduras was there. Anyway, so if you want to know who all was there, you can get on their website, okay? I just can't remember. But anyways, it's a tremendous time for me because, and most of the people that work security there, they couldn't care less. They're there working a job, getting a paycheck. Now, that's the other beautiful thing about this. These people, 18,000, pay money to get into this thing, to hear these people. Pay money. And not only do they pay an admission, like an admission, but the bigger you donate, the closer you get to people. So, Gene, if I gave you $100,000, I'd be able to sit this close to you when you came and spoke.
But I get to sit free.
But you get to sit free. Is it really free, Judy? So there are people donating hundreds of thousands of dollars to sit to listen to these speakers, and I'm there for, they're paying me. They're paying me to be there. And I'm, you know, they think that that's the thing. They're paying me to do some menial job, but no, they're paying me to listen to some of these high profile speakers and get the inside track on what's going on. So it's a huge blessing. I appreciate y'all allowing me to do that every year. One, it is, you know, I do get paid, and two, I get to sit in on some pretty cool stuff. And let me just say, put a little plug in here for, I'm going to go out on a limb, and it's not anything new. I think some people are thinking it. I believe, and I'm not saying thus says the Lord. I believe Nikki Haley is going to be our first female president. I just believe that. And for all y'all that aren't into politics, that's nothing, you know, that's fine. But this is why I go on about this. You know, Israel is important. And I believe it's important for us to understand why Israel is important. And no matter, regardless of your politics, that has no matter. Israel is important. And so that's what AIPAC is. It's a pro-Israeli conference to, you know, talk about the things that are going on between the relations of America and Israel, what all Israel is doing, what's happening in Israel. But why should we care about them? Why should we care about Israel? You know, I meant to look up, and somebody may know this fact, fun fact, how big the country of Israel is compared. At one time, is it New Jersey maybe? Something along those lines. Y'all know how big New Jersey is? You ever looked on a map? It's tiny compared to Colorado and Wyoming and Texas and even Virginia. It's tiny. So that's, you got this sliver of land in the Middle East. Can y'all just bear with me on my little history lesson here for a minute? You got this tiny sliver of land in the Middle East that gets all this attention, all this press, all of this turmoil just around this tiny little sliver no bigger than New Jersey. But why? Well, we're going to share a few things. If you turn to Romans chapter 3, I'm going to introduce why. Because really, to them, to Israel, the oracles of God were entrusted to the Hebrew people. So I'm going to say some, you know, I can say Israel, Israeli, Israelites, Hebrews, Jews. They're all talking about, and I'm going to differentiate a few things, but they're all talking about the same thing. Romans 3, 1. Are you there yet? And I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, then what advantage remains to the Jew? How is he favored? Or what is the value or benefit of circumcision? Now, we all know circumcision was the covenant that Abraham cut with God. That was the sign of the covenant. On the eighth day, they would circumcise all the males. Right? If you don't know what circumcision is, Google it later. No, don't do that. 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 That's bad. Who knows what will come up? So the English term Jew originates from the biblical Hebrew word, and I'm going to mispronounce this, but Yehudi, meaning from the kingdom of Judah. From the kingdom of Judah, or Jew. I like, you could say kingdom of praise. How many know Judah means praise? We talked about praise and worship today. Judah means praise. I like saying the kingdom of praise. So anyways, it comes from that Hebrew term, Yehudi, meaning from the kingdom of Judah. And if you're a history buff or you've read in 2 Kings and back in Chronicles, back when Israel was a divided nation, okay? You had the northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and you had the southern kingdom, which was called the kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel got overtaken. They were taken off into captivity. The southern portion, kingdom of Judah, became what is known now as the Jewish nation, the Hebrew people. They just kind of lumped it all in to Judah. Therefore, that's why we have the word Jew. Did anybody know where the word Jew came from before? I'm telling you, these things, these are key little nuggets that we need to find and understand. Verse 2 says, let me read verse 1. Then what advantage remains to the Jew? How is he favored? Or what is the value or benefit of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted the oracles, the brief communications, the intentions, the utterances of God. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. This is a people entrusted with the oracles of God. Verse 3 says, what if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and His fidelity to His word? Obviously no, right? So regardless of whether Jews believe or not, they are the chosen race, the chosen people, God's chosen people whom the oracles were handed down to, the oracles of God, handed down to this people. They are still God's chosen people because God keeps His word and all of Israel will be saved. Think about this. Without the Jews, or the Hebrews, we could call them, we wouldn't have the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the whole Old Testament of the Bible. Word says that Those that bless the nation of Israel will be blessed, and those that curse the nation of Israel will be cursed. Genesis 12 reads this way, verse 1. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, go for yourself, for your own advantage, away from your country, from your relatives and your father's house, to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you with abundant increase of favors, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Verse 3, and I will bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you, and curse him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. In you, in Israel, in the people, the Jewish people, the Hebrews, in you, all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Why is Israel important? Because God says they are. And that's why I do that conference. That is one of my contributions to the nation of Israel. I go and support pro-Israel policies, pro-Israel speakers, and because I know that if by blessing Israel, I'll be blessed by God. By blessing the Jewish people, I'll be blessed. I didn't say that. Scripture says it. Now, I know it said Abram there. We know Abram changed, got his name changed to Abraham. He's the father of the Hebrew people, and that great nation Scripture is talking about is Israel, or the Jewish people. But we also know that we are the children of Abraham. Even if you're not of Jewish descent, anybody in here of Jewish descent? But all of you, if you're born again, are children of Abraham. And we could go into the whole olive tree, how the wild olive branch was grafted into the true olive tree. But just know that Scripture says that you are a child of Abraham. Look at Romans 4. Romans 4, and I'll read out of the Amplified. In verse 18. Is this okay? I know it's a little, you know, dry history, but it's important. It is important. If you trust me, it is important information to know. Romans 4, verse 18. Says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been promised, so numberless shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in the faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead because he was about 100 years old. Can you imagine? 100 years old, father and a child. Whew. Or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's deadened womb, I think she was around 90, no unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly questioned concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and do what he had promised. Some of us need to take that for ourselves today. Let me read that again. Fully satisfied. Abraham was fully satisfied. You and I need to be fully satisfied and assured that God is able and mighty to keep his word and do what he has promised. Make it present. That is why his faith, Abraham's, was credited to him as righteousness or right standing with God. But the words it was credited to him were not written for his sake alone, but they were written for our sakes. Say, my sake. Two, righteousness, standing acceptable to God, will be granted and credited to us also who believe in, trust in, adhere to, and rely on God who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. It's for us too. It's for us too. Who was betrayed, Jesus, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and was raised to secure our justification, our acquittal, making our account balance and absolving us from all guilt before God. So why do I care so much about Israel and count it a blessing to work that conference every year? Because I want to bless Israel. I want the Jewish people blessed. Listen, there was a, and I don't know how long ago it surfaced, but it was called replacement theology, where the church actually thought they were replacing the Jewish nation. They thought that they were the promised people, the chosen people of God, and Israel was out. That is not the case. That is not the case. Don't let that deceive you, that theology. I want to bless the people and the nation that God found faithful and that believed in Him, and He accounted them it to them as righteousness. Just as He accounts us believing in the shed blood of Jesus, counts us as righteousness if we believe, if we only believe. And that it sounds so simple. If we just believe, then you can go before God clean. No matter what you've done, what you've said, where you've been, how you've acted. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the blood cleanses you of all of that. And you are standing clean before God. It's hard to imagine that sometimes. I mean, that is a true step of faith. To think, I've got stuff in my past. I could tell you about it, but we'd be here all day long. And you don't want to hear it anyways. You've probably got stuff in your past. But guess what? When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, no matter what that past entails, it was forgiven. Once and for all. You don't have to go back and say, oh, I'm really, I know I repented, I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I still am holding on to this thing in my past. No, no. Once and for all. Once and for all. Once and for all. You are forgiven. Made righteous. Because you believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead, and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and He is risen. And that's what you should be thankful for. Talk about the power of thanksgiving. Because He bought our healing, our deliverance, our peace of mind, our prosperity. He bought and paid for it with His blood. And we should be thankful for that. We should praise and worship Him out of our thanksgiving for that. We should not be ashamed because of what He did on the cross. He bought and paid for it all and said it was finished. Believe that it is finished, and you have everything you have need of already. I don't think we realize that. I don't think when Jesus was on the cross and He said, "It is finished," I don't believe we understand the totality of that statement. Because if we did, our healing was bought and paid for. Our prosperity, bought and paid for. Our deliverance, bought and paid for. It's ours. It's in our bag, okay? You go to the grocery store, you buy you some fruit, you put it in your bag, it's bought and paid for. It's yours now. You can take it home with you. Jesus bought and paid for our freedom. Thank Him for it. We've been talking about going deeper with God. You want to go deeper with God? You better be thankful. You better have a thankful heart if you want to go deeper with God. And you better give that thankfulness a voice. Give it a voice. Speak it out. We all understand out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you have a thankful heart, I don't think you can help but speak it out. Amen? Be thankful for Israel. You know, the Bible says pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Be thankful for that little sliver of land out in the Middle East. You know, they are only friendly, the U.S. is only friendly partner. That's not a good word. Advocate? No, that's not a good word. There's turmoil all around that little sliver of land. Everyone surrounding them just about wants Israel destroyed. They're our ally in the Middle East. We're their ally. Whether you agree with everything or not, the Bible says to pray for those who are in authority over us and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. If you want to go deeper with God, you have to understand some of the history of the people of God. You do. I believe you do. I believe you don't. Have an analogy there. But don't you need to know the source or the foundation or the start of something if you really want to know something? If you really, really want to have deep, intimate knowledge, you have to know those things. Jesus himself was a Jew. Did y'all know that? Some of y'all say, what? Really? He was. He was, right out of the house of David. One of the best kings that Israel ever had. He had his flaws too, didn't he? But he had the heart of God. And Jesus came to establish a church. He didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. This is why we need to know and understand who Israel is, what the history of the Jewish people is, what our relationship to the Jewish nation is, and why we are to believe for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of their homeland. Why we are to pray for those that are in authority over us. How many know they, and this was historical, I'm telling you, there was some historical stuff, we've already mentioned some of it, but President Trump moving the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That was huge. Huge historical context. Huh?
Embassy,
that's what I... But he acknowledged Jerusalem as the capital. Yes, sorry. Did I say that wrong? Yeah. He moved our embassy, the U.S. embassy, from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem and acknowledged Jerusalem as the eternal capital of the nation of Israel. Yeah. Keep me straight. So some things are happening. And this is all, listen, this is all part of what the season, not the season, the times that we are in. These are all indicators, they're harbingers of the time that we are in. And that's why it's important to stand up and take notice of some of this stuff. But you wouldn't know some of that unless I told you that today. So hopefully I've piqued your interest a little bit. And maybe you'll dig down and get into that Old Testament a little bit and read some of them old stories and some of those old accounts of things that happened to the Jewish nation. And why are they so persecuted? I mean, I'm sure everyone in here has heard of the Holocaust. I have witnessed Holocaust sites firsthand myself. I spent 3 months in Germany and witnessed several Auschwitz bombed out bunkers near where we were staying even. My host father was on a U-boat working for Hitler. 16 years old on a U-boat. That's a submarine for y'all that don't know. That's when it goes under the water. I've seen it. I've been to the museum there. Why is one particular people group so oppressed and persecuted and sought after to destroy? Because they are God's chosen people. God is so good. He's so good. I believe that by looking into these things, it can increase our faith. You know, when you become firmly rooted and grounded, when you gain knowledge and understanding in certain areas, you can become firmly rooted and grounded. Now listen, some of that is by spiritual insight, right? But some of it, we have to gain knowledge too, especially when it comes to our historical roots and why we are where we are right now. Why is the church here right now in this time, in this age? Do you ever ask yourself questions like that? Do you ever ask yourself, why am I a Christian? Do you? I think it's okay to ask those. I'm fairly introspective. I like to seek out things like that. Because why can you ask questions like, because it more firmly grounds you in your faith. It more firmly grounds you in your faith. Because some of us are, some of us are just this way because that's the way we grew up and that's all we knew and that's what our parents were. But listen, we are getting to a time and an age where you're going to have to know for yourself why. Because you've got to be able to stand in the authority of the believer in Jesus. And so all these things that I share about Israel and different things going on and all the, you know, persecution that they've suffered and everything that's happening right now in the Middle East and everything that's going on in this country, it is just a sign of the times. And we need to discern the signs of the times. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the Sadducees because they said what? Oh, you can look at the sky and tell what the weather's going to do, but you don't know the sign of the times. We need to understand the times that we are in. And this is just all part of that, this little history lesson. So every year I go to APAC, you can just expect another little history lesson when I come back. I better not say that. Y'all might not show up that Sunday. You're like, no, we don't want that. I love you guys. And I love that you allow me to talk about certain things that I have a love for. Now, first and foremost is God and His Son Jesus. Boy, do I love them more than anything. They have first place in my heart. They have first place in my heart. And I hope they do yours as well. And as they do, you will see all these other things added unto you that you desire. According to the Word. According to His will. Amen.